Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 207. And like usual, this episode is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. If you just click that link or follow that URL, you can kind of help us out by making your purchases via that link. Just gives us a little bit off of the top there. We get a little bit of commission, helps us keep the podcast going. And like always, we're here with Bob. How's it going, Bob?
What's up, man? It's what is today? Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Yep.
I feel like I'm finally back in the rhythm of things, if that makes any sense.
I would have said the same thing, except I stayed up late last night working for you. So no.
Yeah. Well.
No, but hey, you know what? That was on. It was all on me. But no, I finally feel like normal after CES, kind of. So.
Yeah, because I think even after last week, I think I still put out like 3 or 4 more videos from.
You got a lot of content coming back out.
There's just so much. I mean, I think it's just, you know, you and I, and we go to our meetings together, and I don't know how many companies we met with, maybe 30.
It was probably close to that. I don't think it was quite 30, but it was a lot.
Yeah. What's up, Mike? Happy Wednesday to you as well. Welcome to the podcast. We're just getting started, and we're talking about, finally getting over CES.
Usually we start with weather, and like for us it like rained and iced and snowed last night, but
yeah, it's been cold. It wasn't necessarily warm in Vegas, so I don't feel like I came back to like the Arctic, but it's been pretty cold, you know. But I've been inside mostly, so I haven't really gone outside all that much.
But yeah, kind of going back, we have 42 pieces of content on our CES 2020 page.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So if you guys want to follow up with that, just go to thinkcomputers.org/CES2020. Yep. Or if you're on the website, you can just click this right here, the CES 2020, and that will bring you to our dedicated CES 2020 page. It has everything. But for everybody who is following along on video, if you want to follow along with what we're talking about, we have our podcast notes page, and it is live right now. So you guys can go in the description of this video on YouTube, and you can go ahead and follow along about everything that we're going to talk about this week. Jim has just tuned in and said, hello, friends. Jim, what is going on? Let's jump into the big story, I would say, is the RX 5600 XT. We reviewed the MSI version, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to talk about this. So I wouldn't say it's drama. I would say it is competition, right?
It's competition.
Yeah. So this card was announced at CES. This was one of the big AMD announcements. They released the specs, the entire specs of the card were released. But
yeah,
the card was not shown, and the card was not released at CES. It was just announced. And that basically gave NVIDIA 2 weeks to kind of be like, we got to have to figure something out, or we have to, do something to be competitive or whatever.
Sure.
So what they did is they dropped the price. So I assume they had already planned to drop the price of the RTX 2060. We saw one.
We saw the EVGA KO version, right? So we knew that they at least probably had some info on it. So, you know, NVIDIA did. So, yeah, they had to be planning at that point.
Yeah. So NVIDIA basically wanted to do what they did with the RX 5700 XT was, we're releasing a super. The super's faster, and basically, so the 2060 is $20 more. It's faster. So then, in like the last 2 days before the launch, AMD updated the BIOS to make the card faster, which in turn made all of the add-in board partners, because this is completely add-in board partner launched, update their BIOSes. And that takes a while. And this card was to launch on Tuesday.
Yep.
Which means that most of the people that you deal with at these companies are not in the office all weekend. So they get they get their BIOS update Monday afternoon, and we have to post a review on Tuesday, which isn't fun. So
sounds like you may have had to maybe redo some benchmarks.
Yeah, so I had benchmarked the card over the weekend at its original settings, and then I had to redo it at the new settings. And it was just frustrating because that's just a lot of work that you had already put in. And it wasn't like they told us it was coming, like, hey, don't test the card yet. Sorry, but we'll have new specs on Monday. Mm-hmm. It was like they didn't say anything. And then, hey, don't release the review with those specs. Here's the new BIOS updated and retest. And I did get the written review done. My video is still in edit process, so I shot it all today. But the written review. Go ahead.
Sorry, I haven't read the written review yet. But you know, was it a noticeable difference? I've kind of read like a 10 to 11% increase in performance. Is that kind of what your experience was, or what did you kind of?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, in games, it's not crazy noticeable. But I mean, they did bump the card up a lot.
Right.
So it's basically on par with an RTX 2060 at a lower, technically a lower cost. So for all, what we reviewed was MSI's card. It is their Gaming X card. So if you're familiar with MSI and their Gaming X, this will sit as their flagship RX 5600 XT. The one thing that I really liked about this card specifically was its actual design. We'll go to the second page here so you guys can see, is they've redesigned their Gaming X for the RX 5000 series. We didn't get their 5700 or 5700 XT, so we couldn't really see this new design. So I'm actually, this is like the first time I'm seeing it in person, and it is nice. Like for an AMD card, this is really nice. I think that the design is more modern and it's not kind of like crazy out there. There's hardly any RGB on this. I just really, really like the design of the card itself.
Yeah, I'm usually not a fan of MSI's look in general on their cards or products, but this one actually doesn't seem too bad. That's kind of nice. It reminds me of some of ASRock's like early products with that brushed metal look there in the dark.
Yeah. Gray, yeah. But it's like this nice kind of brushed metal look. Just a little bit of red in there, you know, and then you get the full metal backplate there. Mm-hmm. It is a really nice card. It's a big card. You can see it's more than two slots. It's about like 2.5 or 2.7 slot card. Really, really big card. I think they've done a great job. It uses their seventh generation of their twin Froser technology. So you have two 100 millimeter cooling fans, and they're their Torque X 3.0 fans. And basically there's two different types of blades for better airflow and all of that. I go into that really in detail in the review. You can see how big the heat sinks are on there, and they're connected by heat pipes. There's this total of six heat pipes on this, and the cooling results on this are really good, as well as the sound results. So this thing, one, the fans will completely turn off when you don't have the, you know, when you don't put load on your GPU, they'll completely turn off. That's kind of, I guess that's more standard.
That's pretty standard, it feels like, thankfully.
You know, but even in full load, 100% load on the GPU, this is not very loud at all. Only like a 10 dB difference, or maybe even less than that, which is not a lot, especially for an AMD card, because some AMD cards sound like they're going to take off. So that's not the case here. This is the little part right here that will light up with RGB lighting, just as MSI Gaming. But getting into kind of, you know, how does this card perform? I think that's what a lot of people want to know. This is the 1080p card. This is, you know, 80 to 100 FPS at AAA titles at, you know, the highest settings. This is over 100 FPS getting to 120, maybe even 144 on esports titles at 1080p. And you can even do 1440p over 60 FPS on AAA titles. So I think, you know, when it comes to the cards, the RX 5700 XT, that's their 1440p card. This is their 1080p card. And then the 5500, which has been out, is the esports card, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And as, at least in my testing, the 5500 is 25% slower than the 5600, and the 5700 is at 1080p, it's 20% faster at 1440p, it's 25% faster. So you have a nice segment.
Yeah, there's not like a lot of confusion there with like, oh, I want to play these, but you know, you like get in that matrix of like trying to figure out your price to performance ratio. It's I feel like it's a lot more separated on the AMD side as opposed to NVIDIA. Plus, there's like three models on the AMD side as opposed to however many on NVIDIA.
That's one thing I really like about AMD. They're not flooding the marketplace, because again, in this kind of price range on the NVIDIA side, you have a 1660, you have a 1660 Super, you have a 1660 Ti, and then you have a 2060. Four cards within $100 of each other. Yep. So yeah, so the stock version of this card, the MSRP is $279. We actually don't have pricing on this card because it's not out or available yet, and MSI couldn't tell us the price of the card either, which I found a little weird. So I don't know if AMD's gonna change price. I can't assume they are. But the RX 5500 version of this card carried a $50 premium. So I would say this card's gonna sell for $330. That's my guess. Okay. I think it's a good card. Like, if you want a high performance 1080p card or over 60 FPS 1440p card for, you know, $330. It's a great card. Cooling on it was great. Power efficiency was great on this as well. MSI did a great job with this as far as looks, I think. There's really not much I can say bad about this card. And that's, you know, the only thing I could say is that when you compare this to an RTX 2060, is that the RTX 2060 has ray tracing and this does not. If that's something you're into, you're obviously going to go the NVIDIA route anyways.
I just hate that we've got these cards that are essentially launching and we have no idea on pricing. It just feels a little weird.
You know, it's not available, at least not to my knowledge. They said it's going to launch in a couple of weeks, but I would like to know pricing. I just based my 330 mark on what the 5500, you know, the premium that the 5500 was.
Yeah.
And this actually has bigger heat sinks. It's a longer PCB. It's a more expensive GPU. So it might be more.
We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah. But I did give it a 9 out of 10 and a recommended award. The only reason I gave it 9 out of 10 is because I don't know the price. And the BIOS change at the last minute was just annoying to me. Yeah. And it's annoying I don't know. I actually can't tell you the RX 5600s that were available on launch day. If the customer had to update BIOS.
I was going to say, that's extra work for that customer. Not everybody's comfortable, you know, flashing a BIOS on a card. You can brick your GPU. You can brick bad.
I believe that you actually had to on ones that were available day one, just for the fact that all the press releases that came out were like easy one click install, you know. So
yeah, those like follow up articles I kept seeing.
Yeah. But I did give this card a recommended award. So if you're looking for a 5600 XT, this is one that I would highly recommend. MSI just really did a great job and I was really impressed with the card. But the card overall, like I said, it's a good card. It's one that I would recommend. And one thing I really did stress is that you have a choice now, just like on the CPU side, because you actually really have a choice when it comes to getting two products that are pretty similar in performance at around the same price. You're getting that here now too. The 5600 XT and the RTX 2060, at least in our testing, they perform the same. They're within 1% in our testing in games. So if you want NVIDIA and you like NVIDIA, get the RTX 2060, which has now been lowered to around $300. And then if you're on the AMD side, of course, get the 5600 XT. Yeah. So I like it.
Cool.
I like it a lot. So I reviewed that. And then I got to play even more games because I reviewed a monitor, which was kind of interesting because we've seen them and we talked about it at CS, but I've actually never spent a lot of time with a monitor that has HDR. That was kind of a new thing for me because I've never, you know, actually spent time, like spent hours playing.
You see them demoed for a while and like you know, and they've been set up by the company, but actually spending a lot of time with one. Yeah, I'm sure it makes a difference and you actually come to appreciate it maybe more than just seeing a demo.
I definitely did, especially the game that I played on it. But I took a look at the Auris CV27Q. That is their 27-inch curved 165 hertz gaming monitor. This is a great monitor. When it comes to the... I feel a lot of monitors, they have these taglines, like, again, HDR, curved, mm-hmm. 1440,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever it may be. Yep. But to actually play on this was really great. Here you can see the curve. I think for 27 inches, 1500R curve is perfect. Looking at the monitor, I didn't have to, turn my head or anything, which I really liked. So for 27 inches, 1440p, I thought that was really great. Their stand is actually nice on this too. And I think people don't think about that, but I do a lot because I want to be able to move this thing around. So you can pretty much do everything except for turn the monitor into landscape or into portrait. I'm sorry. So the bottom of the stand actually allows you to completely swivel it all the way around.
And I don't know if you'd want a curved monitor in portrait.
I can't really fault them for that because you really wouldn't want a curved monitor in portrait mode. So I really like that. It does have a little hole there too, so you can route all your cables, which worked well. For those who want to mount it on an arm or anything like that, it does have your VESA mounts in there as well. As far as connections, you get two display port or two HDMI, one display port, and then you have USB on this. So it has a USB hub and it has USB for some other reasons, which I'll talk about. And then you have the little controller on the bottom.
Which is so much better than five buttons and trying to figure out.
Yes, 100%. But so you don't even need to use that, which is the cool thing about this monitor.
So before you go on, Ken in chat is asking the benefit of a curved monitor. Really, I mean, from my perspective, it's kind of to bring you in immersive a little bit, right? You've got, for me, I've got a flat screen in front of me, and it just brings those edges in a little bit to really, depending on how close or far away you're sitting, just brings that into your peripheral a bit. It's a lot more noticeable, I feel, on a much wider monitor, an ultra wide, like the Samsung we took a look at CES, right? Just kind of brings you further into the game, I would say. Plus, I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that as well, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, I use a 34-inch curve. That's what's sitting in front of me right now, and I wish I could show you guys. But that's what I use. And for me, because it's curved, because it's 34 inches, I do have to move my head a little bit like this, but not a whole lot. And it's more immersive. So when I play games, especially single player games, it's a much more immersive experience for me. You feel more in the game, especially if I turn these lights off and I'm in the game, I just feel more immersive. As far as it's very good for, again, racing games and single player games. Mm-hmm. For FPS in esports and especially competitive gaming, I wouldn't say a curved monitor is the best thing. Especially when you get into the larger curves and things like that. But it's just more immersive. That's the whole idea. It's more immersive. And it allows you to not move your head as much when it comes to certain things, I guess, if that makes sense. But thank you, Ken, for that question, for sure. Because I know a lot of people might, kind of wonder what that's about. The back of the monitor does have RGB lighting, which you can control with MSI's Mystic Light software. It's just kind of there for show. If you had this against the wall, it's not going to light up that wall.
That's what I was going to ask, if it's bright enough to kind of give that back glow, offset lighting. Okay.
Yeah, no, not really. So the on-screen display, we talked about using that little joystick. This is what it looks like. And it's actually one of the best ones that I've seen as far as organization and things like that. And that's great, but they actually have software. So if you connect the monitor via USB to your computer, you can install the software, and the software has everything that the on-screen display has. You can do it all with your mouse. It is like night and day. I will, like, I'm using this monitor here that's not the Aorus one, and I just want it so bad to change things and to make it easier. But this is a Viotech monitor, and I have three buttons under that I have to go through, and, you know, yep, these sloppy menus and everything. So that is one plus of the Aorus monitors. And I don't know of any other company that has something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The cool thing that I always, like, I don't forget, but I forget a little bit, I guess, is, you know, they've got the on-screen crosshair, which is kind of one of those features where it's like, is it cheating or not, you know, to kind of have a,
yeah,
you know, in games, a lot of times when you start firing, you know, you lose that crosshair, or the crosshair expands, so you don't have as much accuracy there. Well, you can have the monitor draw that there, but you can actually edit the style of your crosshair with your mouse. So you can, if, yes, you wanted it to be a smiley face or something, you can change it around, which is kind of,
yeah,
kind of, we'll, funny, but kind of cool as well.
Yeah, we'll definitely, we'll get into that in one second as well. And I just want to show you guys, like, as far as, like, I'm a multitasker, and I think every monitor review I do, I show you, you know, this is what two windows look like side by side. The 27-inch 1440p, I think you have more than enough room to be, like, a side-by-side window person. Yep. So that's something that I definitely wanted to mention. And then, of course, the most important thing is gaming. I played a lot of Apex Legends, which we will be playing a little bit later after our stream here. And great, just, you know, great colors. Everything was really good and fast. 165 hertz, which I was able to push with my RTX 2080. No problem there. Just was great overall experience when it comes to, like, a fast-paced game. Mm-hmm. And then I played Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and that's where this monitor really showed its true colors for me when it comes to HDR. So I wish I should have taken a picture of another monitor that doesn't have HDR. But if you look at certain things, like, this is black, and there's no,
right, it's in the shadows. It's just black, right? It's
black, like, and there's, right, no glow from behind, you know, or anything like that. It is true black. And that's what the whole idea of HDR is, to make it more immersive, make it look more real.
Yep.
And Joseph asked, isn't Aorus a Gigabyte brand? And yes, it is. Aorus is Gigabyte's gaming brand. So all of their high-end gaming products get released under the Aorus brand, kind of like what Asus does with their Republic of Gamers, kind of, right, basically like the same thing. Yep. But playing Star Wars, as I said, it's such a more immersive experience. And I think that this really showed me what monitors like this are. This is why we have HDR. That's why, mm-hmm, it's one of these taglines. You have to play it to experience it. I can tell you that this is really black and you feel like you're more in the game, but you have to play it. That's why I always say buy on Amazon, because you have 30 days to return if you're a Prime member. Yep. So, you know, just actually experience it. It's definitely worth getting a monitor with HDR these days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we did the demos at NVIDIA's booth, right? I've seen some HDR monitors, but when they were showing off a battle scene in the new Call of Duty, just some of the sparks and explosion pieces were just so much brighter when HDR is done well and you actually have the brightness of the panel that matches up to, like, true HDR specs. Like, the rest of the monitor can be black and you can just have these piercing bright pixels, and it's just night and day difference between a non-HDR monitor and a fully HDR monitor. That's what, yeah, nice.
Aorus calls this their tactical monitor. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that you talked about is you can draw, it's kind of hard, it might be hard to see in the stream, guys, but this is, like, the normal crosshair in the game is these white ones, but the one in the center is the one I put on the screen. And that will remain in the center of your screen to make it. I see, for me, I didn't notice it really when, mm-hmm, I was playing, but some people might, maybe in, you know, I hear it as an Apex, but, you know, maybe in Counter-Strike Source or another game, it might help you out, but it's just a feature that's in there. And again, you can make your own crosshair. You can make it different colors. You can kind of set it in there. So that is one plus there. And, yep, then you have a really cool feature, which is active noise canceling. So again, you connect this monitor to your PC via USB and it creates an audio device. Then you plug in your stereo headphone and microphone into the monitor, and then you turn on active noise canceling. And I have the sound clips here, So basically, it's going to cancel out outside noise. So if you're in a busy, you know, place, like say you might have your computer in a dorm room, or you're in a LAN center, or you're somewhere where there's a lot of background noise, active noise canceling will cancel it out. I was playing music on speakers and then talking into my microphone, and I did it with active noise canceling, and then I did it without, and you can definitely tell a difference. So in competitive games where audio, you know, hearing your teammate is important, this is another tactical feature this monitor has. I think it's really cool. And it actually worked. I was able to test it and it actually worked. So if you guys want to check out those audio clips, definitely go ahead and do that. But yeah, overall, like I said, I think it's a great monitor, and it's cool to see it from Aorus. You know, they just started making monitors, but I think that, you know, we see gaming monitors and we see them with all the specs, but Aorus kind of went a step above by giving you those tactical features and kind of integrating, you know, making it, they know that gamers don't want to be fiddling around with their monitor under there and everything like that. So, you know, you have software to control everything, and it's just, they've done a lot more. So I actually gave it a 10 out of 10. I couldn't find
that doesn't happen too often.
It does not happen too often. I always find something wrong. There's nothing wrong with this monitor. I couldn't fault it for anything. And I also gave it a recommended award. So if you're looking for 1440p monitor, this is one that I would recommend. It's selling for $429.99, and I think that's money very well spent, especially if you are playing single player games that support HDR, or any games that really that support HDR. I think that you'll have your money well spent.
Now, for sure. Was this one of the monitors we saw at CES?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't have the KVM feature.
Yeah, it doesn't have the KVM feature now. Gotcha. But it does have the USB hub on it as well, so you can connect other things. So if you did have like a USB headset or your keyboard or your mouse, you can plug into the monitor too, so to make things easier.
Yeah, and Justin in the chat's asking if a previous GPU will drive the monitor, and what do we recommend? So, I mean, a previous generation GPU will, you know, if let's say you've got a 1070, 1080, even back to a 970, like there are some titles that you could run at 1440. You're not necessarily going to get the high frame rate to make the refresh rate worth it. But yeah, you could definitely utilize an older card as long as, you know, your connectivity was compatible, things like that.
Yeah, so
it just really depends what you want to play and what performance you want to get out of the card and monitor, and what kind of experience you want to have. If you want to be playing at the full frame rate of this monitor, at high settings and the full resolution, you're probably going to want a current generation card that's designed to perform in that manner.
Yeah, and you have to think about too is that you will need a card that has DisplayPort to get 165 hertz. Now, all at least the past two generations, they all have DisplayPort, but if you're running something older that doesn't have DisplayPort, HDMI, I think will only push maybe 100 or 100. I don't know. Actually, I don't even know what it is. But in any case, like I said, it is a great monitor, one that I would highly recommend. If I wasn't on the ultra wide, because I'm an ultra wide guy, like I productivity person, that would be a monitor. Like I would have replaced this monitor with that one, or, you know, but I need my 34 inch for sure. That brings us to our last review of the week. We're back to reviews. Like I feel like we haven't done reviews in so long.
Just it was the holidays and then CES, so
yeah,
back on it.
But you took a look at a AIO from Arctic. It is their Liquid Freezer 2. So you tell us a little bit about it.
So like the name suggests, it is the Liquid Freezer 2 240. So it is a 240 millimeter all-in-one CPU cooler. And like, I feel like in the AIO world, the last couple of years, like we're kind of bound by patents from certain companies that kind of limit the design choices and what we can do with all-in-one coolers. So you typically have your sealed loop with a pump, reservoir, and CPU block all in one. You've got some tubing that attaches to a radiator, and we've got our fans, right? So recently we obviously have seen things like RGB, ARGB fans and lights on the pumps themselves, things like that. Arctic has kind of kept towards the performance side as opposed to aesthetics. And they've kind of shown that off here, whereas in the image Bob's got up now, that's the water block and pump module. And what's unique about it is, number one, it looks kind of like a stealth fighter or something similar, right? It's got all these angles to it and vent-looking molding, things like that. But on the right side, we have a 40-millimeter fan that spins and is kind of a blower-style fan. It takes in air from the top on that circular intake and blows cool air, or just air in general, across your VRMs that typically surround your CPU socket. So in a liquid cooled environment, a lot of times you don't get the airflow that you would typically in a, your air cooler, a tower, or a down facing fan. So that 40 millimeter fan helps to blow some air across either the exposed VRMs or, on higher end boards, you're going to have a heat sink of some sort on them. So just kind of a performance and cooling addition there, which is kind of nice, especially if you're overclocking. Those VRMs can get pretty hot, but this fan helps to keep
them cool. That's what something I wanted to, when we initially did our, I forget the I think it was the Z390 boards with a 9900K. We would thermal throttle.
Yeah.
All I had to do to get it to not thermal throttle is put a small 120-millimeter fan blowing down on it. Yep. Right. And it would not thermal
throttle. Move some air a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. Just move a little bit more, because I was testing it in a test bench. So like, this totally makes sense for that, at least for me. Like, yes, this is like this, people might see this like, oh, this fan's kind of a gimmick, but no, yep. At least in my case, in that setting, I could have totally used this and it would have solved that problem.
It is a quiet fan, Ken. I don't hear it at all running in the system. And it's funny that they use like a transparent fan blade hub type of design. I really wish they would have put like an RGB LED in there to kind of make it glow.
Yeah, I initially thought it was a flow meter when I initially saw it. Like at first.
Yeah, it kind of looks like some coolers that have done that. But nope, that is a fan to keep the VRMs cool. So that's kind of a nice design there. You've got a matte finish on the bottom of the block. It's a pretty standard design there. But if you kind of scroll up a bit on the page, I just wanted to notate, yeah, you've got your 220 millimeter fans. Another nice thing about this, so number one, you've got the VRM fan. That's kind of a unique feature that's designed towards performance as opposed to aesthetics. But Arctic has also kind of already mounted the fans on the radiator for you, which a lot of times is the case
with AI. I saw that in your review and I was like, yes. It's four screws per fan. And you're like, this is just annoying.
You've got to like, run the wiring through them. So yeah. I was during the install and like taking pictures, I was like, there's something different about this thing. I was like, oh, they've wired it for me. And the power cable for the two fans, so they're wired together, so they'll use the same signal. It runs in the loom of the tube. So like, you don't have to plug the fans in. There's no mess of cables up there that you have to like shove behind the motherboard or behind the radiator or try and tuck in through some cable management on the motherboard tray. Yeah, it's hidden. And so there's a single connection that comes off of the pump to the motherboard. And that provides power to the pump, the 40 millimeter fan, and the 220 millimeter fans. And it's a PWM connection. Yeah. So you can control and monitor it that way. So that's really a cool design.
That's awesome. If you've done this a bunch of times, you know how annoying it is. Yep. It is just, I hate
especially doing with it. RGB, like, because you've got to get I got to connect my fans together so that they're like can be synchronized, and then I've got to move that cabling around.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those connections between the ARGB connectors is kind of loose. That's not as tight as I feel like they should be a lot of times. It's just it's a headache. So
now what I wanted to ask you is, when these, because the fittings, they come right off of, right out the basically the front of this block. Now, did that make it harder to maneuver or no?
Right. So I kind of touched on that a little bit here. One thing I don't like about this is in this design, they don't swivel at all. And a lot of times when the connections come out either the side of the block, which is a lot of a lot of AIOs are kind of designed with the lines coming out the side. They will swivel or rotate a bit so that you can kind of maneuver it inside the case. It allows you to, you know, maybe I want to mount the radiator at the front of the case and or at the top. This just makes it a little harder. The cables are a bit stiffer than some
AIOs. They did look like that from your pictures.
They're a little stiff, and I feel like they're a little short. I think they were 450 millimeters. That was really kind of my a little complaint there, that they didn't swivel. It wasn't horrible. It didn't make installation that much harder or anything. They were definitely flexible enough and long enough to go in just fine, but I wish you would have had some rotation there to make things a little easier.
Gotcha.
But yeah, installation is pretty easy. Obviously, it's going to be compatible with like AM4 systems on the AMD side, and then a plethora of Intel sockets and mounting.
Gotcha. And then as far as performance, it was
performance. We've just kind of restarted our test system for these AIOs on the Ryzen 7 1800X. So we don't have a lot of benchmarks in there yet, but I've got another AIO sitting behind me. I've got another one on the way from AlphaCool. So these charts will fill up pretty soon. But so far, it had the best idle temperature of the coolers I've tested and the best load temperature. Now, it made quite a difference in idle, but my load temperature was very, you know, very close there, 46 degrees Celsius, yeah, compared to the Silverstone that we looked at recently. So it performed just fine, nice and quiet. The one thing that is a little unique as well is it's PWM controlled, but that controls the RPM of the pump, the 40 millimeter fan, and the other fans, because you've got the single connection there. So
gotcha.
You increase the speed on one, it increases the speed and a little bit of noise on all of them across the board. So
yeah, so that's, I think sometimes I can't hate on companies for not having software, because we've seen horrible software. So it's like, maybe they're not ready just yet.
Yeah.
You know, in this day and age, like I used to be like, yeah, you need software. Like I want software control. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I've had really bad software and I'm like, yeah, just, yeah, I just want to connect. I just want to connect to PWM. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So really, like, final thoughts, it's a pretty standard AIO, except designed more for people that don't care about RGB and want maybe that extra cooling for the VRMs. I think that's a really nice feature. I think the cabling that's pre-ran for you and runs through the hoses is a really nice feature. It just makes installation that much simpler. And the price point is pretty nice. $84.99 for the 240 millimeter version. They also have a single 120, they've got the 240, a 360, and then a 280, I believe. Nice. So gave it an 8 out of 10. It's nothing special, right? It's not like, if this would have had RGB as well, I think we would have been closer to a 9, just, you know, at that same price point. But I think $90, $85 for this cooler with the unique features that it has is pretty fair there. But again, we've got my only con really is the no physical manual. Again, they're going with that QR code for your phone. Sometimes you just like to have that physical manual in my,
I think anyways,
but we're going that way in a lot of instances.
Yeah. It's when it comes to certain things, I would say like there are certain things where, you know, QR code's fine. I think like the graphics card, I think it's fine because it's not something that, like, at least in my opinion, requires like a lot of installation. You kind of just put it in. But when it comes to an AIO, you want that piece of paper like there, right? You know, right there.
Yeah. Especially when I've got like a screw, you know, I've got a screwdriver and some screws and my phone locks. And in my case, I've got to, you know, either put in a pin or authenticate to unlock my phone. And, you know, if I've got thermal paste on my hands or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, anyway. I tell it. Totally agree. But yeah, great review, and excited to see more AIO reviews coming from you.
So. They're coming.
Yes. And then for Case Mod Friday this week, we kind of just did a gallery because, of course, we were at CES, and we finally got all these pictures together of just all of the awesome case mods and builds from CES. We typically, each week, we typically just do one build that we feature. But we just wanted to throw in all these into one big gallery that you guys can just, you know, like scroll through and see some of these really awesome. And they don't even have to be mods, because like, so like some of these, you know, this is like a cyber-powered machine, but we thought it was a really cool looking build, you know.
I feel like there was more, there was less custom builds, at least where we were at and that we saw. Now, don't get me wrong, there were some really nice custom builds, but I felt like there were more just high-end builds in chassis that are available, which I like. You know, I'm a fan of that as well. So, but yeah, I think we've got 8 pages of in the gallery there, so there's lots to look at.
Yeah, lots to look at. If this, you know, this whole gallery thing is not your thing, you can go check out our entire Case Mod Friday section. Every week we feature a builder mod that's been completed in the community. And you know what's funny is I didn't even see this thing.
That was so funny.
Like, there's so many people that are like, did you see that at MSI? And I was like, I have no clue what you're talking about.
There's a lot going on at MSI, to be fair. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty big room. There's like 150 or 200 people in there, and you could easily walk past this.
But like, this was like really cool. I would have like spent time and like checked it out. But the whole idea is this is like a table that has a PC in it. Wow, that's pretty cool. Or is it dual PC?
I mean,
or is it just a single?
No,
it's a single.
It's single, but yeah. I feel like this would be in your living room or something. Like, because you're not going to sit at that.
No.
Right?
No. Yeah, that would be like running your media center or something, mm-hmm. right? Yep. But it, like I said, I didn't see that. A lot of these, like I said, were, you know, we saw a lot of Mod My Mods, Modders Inc. stuff, lot of builds there.
I mean, TIE Fighter. It's not a TIE Fighter. It's an X-Wing. That was a pretty cool mod at the Alpha Cool and FSP. Was it FSP? Yeah.
Alpha Cool, FSP, yeah. But yeah, like I said, a lot of really cool mods. Definitely worth checking out if you know, like you're into that kind of stuff. You can, you know, check out our gallery there. And then what else do we have? I gotta go back to the notes. So I can't tell you what the new contest will be just yet. Our contest with Thermal Take is like ending in the next hour or so. But if you go to the website, let's see if you can still get in it for everybody who's on the stream who hasn't got in on the contest. You go to contest on the page and you go to Win a Thermal Take, and let's see if 2 hours left.
2 hours.
Hours left on this current contest. So get in. We do it through Gleam.io. But if everybody is listening on audio, it will be over by the time you listen to this. But our new contest will be launching here either tomorrow or the next day. I just finalizing the details, so we're not going to tell you about it yet. But just check back on social media or on the website. You'll see it there, and we'll have another contest again. For this, we've done it the past 3 or 4 months, but you know, going all through 2020, we want to give stuff back to you guys. So each month we should be running a contest where you can at least win something. You know, we hopefully plan to team up with a lot of our sponsors so you can get some cool products.
I know you're having some. Oh, I lost you for a second there.
Oh man, my internet. Bad
internet.
Yeah.
There we go.
What I was saying is that, you know, we either going to try to team up with our sponsors to give you guys hardware, or if not that, we'll, you know, throw in some merch, like we have our own merch, or we'll give you like a gift card to Amazon. You'll let you pick Amazon, Steam, whatever it may be. So stay tuned for all that stuff, because I think we'll have some cool stuff coming up for sure on that. So that brings us to news, and there's not a whole lot going on. There just isn't.
Yeah.
So the big thing besides the 5600 is that there is a rumor. This is supposedly a rumor, a leak or whatever. We can't obviously verify it, so I would take this with a grain of salt. But apparently the die layouts for the next generation Ampere graphics cards were detailed. You're going to have these are 7-nanometer manufacturing process, and these will be for the RTX 3080, if that's what they call it, or the RTX 3070, if that's again what they call it. And these are codenamed the GA103, which will be for the RTX 3080, and the GA104, which will be for the 3070. The big change is you're going to get more streaming multiprocessors, which is going to be a big boost in performance. So the 104, which is the smaller of the two, will have 48, which will give it 3,072 cores total. The larger 103 will have 60, and that will give you 3,840 CUDA cores. So again, more CUDA cores, which mean better performance. Also, the smaller G104 will have a 256-bit memory bus, which will allow for 8 or 16 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory. And then the larger GA103 will have a 320-bit wide interface that can hold either 10 or 20 gigabytes of GDDR6, which, again, we can't verify this. We can't say it's true or not true. But if that's true, having a 3080 with 10 gigabytes of memory seems pretty awesome.
Seems all right. You know, like we said, it's kind of rumor right now, and I had heard some pushback on that there were actually issues with the GDDR6 availability, and that they were just kind of thinking, I don't know, like 10 to 20 seems pretty aggressive for some of the availability, but we'll see.
So that, like I said, that's the rumor right now. There's really not much more we can say, because again, we can't tell you if it's true or not. I don't know. But if it is, that sounds very promising, because I think NVIDIA kind of needs a big, the next generation RTX has been good, but it hasn't been great. So I think they need something big.
Well, and we know AMD is supposedly coming out with, their big card. Especially since Lisa Su kind of indicated such, which kind of leads to our next story.
Yeah, and a Radeon RX 5950 XT, 5950, and 5800 XT have showed up at the ECC, which is the Eurasian Economic Commission. Basically, when you import something, it has to go through regulations. And in here, shout out to whoever finds these, because this is like public in a public database. But whoever finds these, shout out to you. But you can see there is a Radeon RX 5950. You probably can't see it on the screen, but it's in there. And a 5950, a 5900, and a 5800 XT. So again, could we see the 5950 being the 4K card? Because again, we have our esports card, our 1080p card, our 1440p card. Could we see, like a 5800 being 1440p at higher frame rate, and then the 5950 or 5900 being the 4K card, or like a separation between those two?
Right.
We've been hearing about a big Navi. That's what we've been hearing, or large Navi. I don't know if we are going to see it. How is it going to impact on the, because again, we should see NVIDIA chips coming up soon too, new ones. So like, how is this going to compete? Because if it's going to compete currently against an RTX 2080 Super or RTX 2080 Ti,
it's almost DOA.
So it's just like
3000 series coming up.
Yeah. So that's just something to think about. But it is there. It looks like, that's like a real listing. So it's real. Also talking about graphics cards, Intel looks to be, they're going to be detailing their Xe graphics card architecture in March at GDC. Cool. So that's a game developers conference, and it is going to be in March. On the official schedule, Intel, I should be able to bring it up. Intel will be having a presentation about their upcoming Xe graphics card architecture. Here you can see it on the real GDC 2020 page. It just says Intel's brand new Xe architecture has been teased for a while and is scheduled to release later this year. This update brings significant compute geometry and throughput improvements over today's widely used Gen 9 and Gen 11 graphics. This talk will provide a detailed tour of the hardware architecture behind Intel's upcoming GPUs, blah, 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 blah. So I think that's when we're really going to get, some detail on the architecture. Hopefully some detail is like, is this graphics card going to be mainstream? Is it going to be
engineering or AI, stuff like that? I think the most exciting part about that is they say this year. So
yeah.
All right. It feels like that has gone pretty quick, because I mean it was a couple of years ago where, like, hey, guess what, AMD or Intel is working on a discrete GPU again, and it felt like that was going to be forever away, and now it's apparently going to be this year. So
yeah, and again, we initially thought we'd see it at CES, right?
And it's there's rumblings that we might see it, and you know, we've seen that the physical card that was shown on that page, right? I mean, I've seen people holding it.
Yeah,
so we know it's out there, and I think we heard maybe last week, weren't we talking how it had, maybe it wasn't last week, but we were, that reference card had kind of shipped out to folks.
Yeah,
to
start, the prototypes.
Start working on it.
Yeah. So it's exciting, but until I see a physical card with at least specifications as far as like, this is how many, you know, this is blah, 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 I can't get excited about it. But third player, can't complain, right?
Yep.
On to gaming. We have two gaming stories this week, and one is one that I think you guys should get behind, just because
Intel CPU cuts prices. Oh,
hey, just flying through. That's
what I'm here for.
So I totally missed the story. According to industry sources, Intel will cut CPU prices in the second half of 2020. Historically, Intel has never cut prices because they've had such a stranglehold on the GPU or CPU market. Sorry. And that basically means that they can set the price and be like, this is what you're paying, no matter what. They did price cuts on their Cascade Lake X CPUs, which launched at 50% from the previous generation. Yeah. We saw that, and they kind of had to, because AMD's product stack was much better performing and much lower cost, so those would have never sold at the prices that they wanted. So the previous generation, the high end, I don't even know what it was, but it was $2,000 for the CPU. That new version of that CPU now is $1,000, or like $950.
Yeah, something like that.
So now Intel does not price cut, or has really never price cut current gen or current like processors. They just don't do it. So the consensus is that when their new desktop processors launch, they'll be launched at a lower cost than the previous generation. That's the hope, or cool, we're saying. So you might be able, you know, that's the way they're going to compete up until they get 10 nanometer figured out. So,
I mean, it makes sense if they can't get 10 working, they've got to do something, and that will probably.
Yeah. And again, these new processors that are coming out are 14 nanometer plus. So it's kind of hard to justify paying the same price for a 14 nanometer part that, you know, that has, what is it, 10 core 20 thread part, right, that's jammed in there, and I can't imagine how hot it gets when you can get a 16 core part for the same price, or even the 12 core part for the same price, that is, you know, better process, better efficiency, you know what I mean? So I think it's what they have to do. So it's good to finally see it, but it, again, this is rumor, but it should be happening. So now on to the gaming news, and we have a really awesome thing going on. I'm sure if you're at least not living under a rock, you've heard about the fires in Australia. It is not good at all. And I think that, it, you know, we've seen different things. You can, you know, give aid, and there's tons of websites where you can do it for, you know, the fires in Australia. But Humble Bundle is they have a new fire relief bundle, and 100% of the proceeds, it's $25, 100% of your proceeds will go to Australia to help them fight and recover from the fires. I don't know how much. Does it say how much?
There's only 16 hours left.
Yeah, it's only 16 hours left. So this launched a while ago. It doesn't show how much, or here's like the leader, or okay, total. So they've raised $1.6 million, if I'm reading that right. Wait, yeah, $1.69 million. So here's all the games that are on it. There's a couple that I think are really good on here. The other ones, you know, but for 25 bucks, it doesn't, I mean, you could just give $25 to United Way or any of those other charities. Yeah. But this, you're getting something back is for games. You can give them to your friend. You can give them to your brother or sister. But I think it's just great. It's great that they're doing it. We saw the other one around Christmas time, which I bought. And that also went to charity, or some of it went to charity. So, yeah, like I said, I think you should just get it. It's $25. It goes to charity. And
you leave this tab open to make that purchase after the stream.
Yeah. 16 hours left, guys. So, definitely just pick it up. I think that it would be worth it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and then our last little piece of news is about the Epic Game Store and, just some stats that they kind of put out. And I'm not all that surprised, by this headline as far as Epic Game Store has gained over 100 million subscribers in its first year. I think that's really great. I think that one, because they give away free games, it kind of makes sense to just install it and become a subscriber and get free games every week.
Go on every week and get your new free games.
Yeah. And then when you're having, you know, that one night where you're bored, you're like, oh, I have 30 games that I didn't pay for that I can play. And some of them are good. Some of them are really good. So I think that is part of it. And they put out some numbers here that the store has generated $680 million in revenue, with $251 million of it being from third-party games, so not Fortnite, which is kind of cool. And they also listed some of the top-selling games or most successful games on the platform. World War Z, which I actually wanted to check out. Borderlands 3, which I also wanted to check out. Untitled Goose Game, which I actually looked up earlier. It looks kind of funny. Metro Exodus, which was in Borderlands. Was World War Z a exclusive?
Not sure. Hey, thanks for coming out, Ken.
World War Z or Borderlands 3 and Metro was an exclusive. Control, Outer Worlds, Division 2, Dauntless, and Satisfactory. Those are kind of like the highest selling games on the platform. It kind of makes sense. Like, I don't see this as being a big surprise to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. I have 40 some games in my Epic store, and I've paid for one. I haven't paid for Fortnite. It's just free. I think Borderlands 3 came with some product I bought, and then I bought Division 2. Everything else is a free game in there, and that includes like the Batman Arkham trilogy is on there, three Lego Batman games. It's crazy.
I did put those into my game library as well. Yeah, I mean, I have like you said, Fortnite has always been in there. And then I bought Star Wars on there.
Yep.
And all the other games I have on there are free. I do have, I think I have Unreal Tournament, but again, that was on there.
Yeah, I've got that in there as well.
Yeah, so I just think what they're doing is awesome. It's continued to grow. I like what they've done about the transparency as far as like they have a Trello, or is it Trello board? I'm pretty sure they have a Trello board with all their development. It's public, so you can see what's going on.
Cool.
Really cool stuff in there. So, I think that is awesome. And then we talk about what we have going on next week. So because I was struggling with the RX 5600, I will be reviewing. Let me see if I can bring it up here. This mouse, which I showed you guys last week. This is the MM711 from Cooler Master. It is basically their... It's their MM710, which is their lightweight gaming mouse with RGB lighting. It's pretty much what it is. I really like it. I've talked about at length about why I like lightweight gaming mice. It will be in the review, so definitely stay tuned for that one. And then hopefully I will be taking a look at Inwin's 309. So this is the case that has this cool little thing in the front. And we talked about it a few, or maybe before CES, but the front panel on the one that I had issues. So they sent me a new front panel. It comes in tomorrow. Hopefully I don't have issues with that one. And we will get this review out to you guys, but it is a really cool looking case. And it has still the side panel design. I absolutely love. You press a button, it pops out. So yeah, so I'll have that as well. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at a CPU cooler from, I guess it's, I always mess up the name. Is it Ravine or?
I think it's Raven.
Raven.
Yeah.
Yep. I always want to say Ravine. Like I threw him in the Ravine.
Not good. Not good.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'll be taking a look at their Justice 2 tower cooler. So I'll have that for you guys as well next week. So pretty excited for, you know, everything coming up next week. And that brings us to the end of the podcast where we talk about if we did anything or
nope.
You know what I actually did this week that I've never done before, at least I don't believe I have, is that I flashed an AMD card because I had to. I never did it before.
You've done NVIDIA cards?
I've done NVIDIA cards, yes. But I, you know, there's an AMD flash tool that you do. Mm-hmm. You just, it's really simple, but I've never done it before. So I think that's.
That sounds a little scary. You're like.
Yeah, I was like.
You're like, okay. I hope the power doesn't go out.
Or, I was like, if I brick this, then I guess I can't complete the review. So that's fun.
Yeah.
But no, I'm trying to think if I did anything else. I
didn't really do anything. I kind of mentioned like. This isn't coming out next week, but I mentioned another AIO. Let's get the H115i RGB Pro XT from Corsair. So that will be the next AIO up for me. And then, like I said earlier, I've got an Alpha Cool coming in as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I did anything. No, I wanted to go see 1917. I didn't go see it. I wanted to go see Bad Boys for Life. Didn't go see it. I've just been too busy.
Yeah, we went and saw Doolittle on Monday, which, I mean, kids were out of school. I was off, so we had to have something to do to get out of the house. But I was surprised at the IMAX theater here. Like, Bad Boys for Life was in the IMAX, and, you know, that's where I had seen Star Wars. And so it was kind of like, you kicked Star Wars out for, like, I don't know, Bad
Boys. Star Wars has been out for a while.
I guess. It's a month. I don't know, it seemed a little rushed in my opinion, but you know, whatever.
But yeah, I really don't think I've done anything. I have a lot of cool products coming in that I'm really excited about, stuff you'll see in the next month or so. A lot of cool stuff, new tech and things like that, so I'm really excited. But we will be streaming after this. We are streaming now, but we're going to be moving over to Twitch, which is just twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We're going to be over there. We are going to, what are we playing? Apex?
Yeah, Apex tonight. So you missed out unless you got any time in with the
third party
constantly. Okay, so third party you missed out on.
Or third person
view.
Yeah,
I felt like I played better or did all right because I felt like people weren't as good at that mode.
Yeah.
And it took a little work. I felt a little better and I got a win on that mode. Nice. And then the last 2 days were the constantly shrinking circle, which was pretty fun.
I didn't play that.
I played a couple rounds last night, like, I don't know, five
or
six.
Are you going to, now, this whole event, will you be able to replay them again? Like, that mode again or no?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, unless they bring them back again for a limited mode. Okay. But today and tomorrow is shotties and snipers.
And that was one they had before, and we had a lot of fun, or at least I had a lot of fun playing that. So
yeah, I didn't get a lot of chance to play it, so I'm kind of excited to play that tonight. So I think that's probably what we will do.
Yeah, so we'll be jumping over there, guys. Ryan will put up the stream as soon as we get off here, so you can jump on, and then we'll probably take a 5-minute break, go to the bathroom, and then get on to gaming. And we will be giving away some games, head over. We're not sure how many we're going to give out. I have a bunch of keys for a bunch of different Steam games that I'm not going to play, and I figured, why not just give them out to you guys? So head on over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we will be giving those away over there. And everybody who's on the podcast, if you want to subscribe to the audio, you know, you can't tune in for our live stream. It's just Think Computers, all one word. You can put it in your podcasting app, website, whatever it may be. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on pretty much everything. So definitely do that. And until next week, we will catch you guys later.